Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Good morning to you. It's Thanksgiving Eve. Oh my gosh, it's here. And this is the last week of November as well, which blows my mind. Heading into week 13 of the NFL season, week 14 of the college football season. And of course, it's on the cusp of wrapping up with conference championships on the horizon. We also had the first of the free agent bombshells late last night. So if you missed it, a Blake Snell and Scott Boras bombshell. He's going to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Multiple reports indicating that Blake will sign a 5-year, $182 million deal with a very sizable chunk as a signing bonus. And when you average it out over the life of the contract, he's got more money in average annual value than some of these other very high profile free agent signings. And you may remember that Blake Snell was disgruntled by the deal that he ended up getting from the Giants late last spring training. So he was really out all of spring training, which meant the start of his season was a massive train wreck. And instead of sticking with the Giants, he opted out to become a free agent again and now gets the deal that he wanted, which has no opt-outs, and pending a physical, will pair him with the World Series champion. So he's gone Padres, Giants, now Dodgers in 3 consecutive years, making his rounds of the NL West. I guess that only leaves the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, right? So still time left for him to make it a full sweep, a clean sweep. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. Good morning to you on this Thanksgiving Eve. There's food prep. There's travel prep. There's work prep. For those of you who are working or this is your last day of work and school, we're happy to keep you company. We've got something brand new at the end of this hour. It actually is just over 30 minutes from now. We've never done a live broadcast on Twitch, but we are going to try it. It could be the last time we ever do a live broadcast on Twitch. No, I'm kidding. I just don't love being on camera. I feel very awkward, even when it's photos. I stink at selfies. So I don't enjoy being on camera, but I'm going to forget the camera's there. I'm just going to talk to producer Pete. And we've come up with something special for this Thanksgiving. It's called the Turkey Day Draft. Thanksgiving Day Draft. With food, of course, because that is right up our alley. So if you haven't seen it or you're looking for the link for Twitch, it's online at A-Law Radio, and then I will also share it on our Facebook page as soon as we get to this break. Pete has come up with a list of the highest profile Thanksgiving Day prospects. Think NFL draft. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but they start with meat. You have to go and you have to look at the list, and then you can kind of judge the way that we draft. We're going to go back and forth. We are going to flip. In fact, I think we should do that right before we get to that break. We should flip for who gets the number one pick, or should we save that for the beginning of our Twitch broadcast?
I think we should do it before the second.
Okay, so we'll do it right before the update at the bottom of the hour. We'll flip for it to see who goes first when it comes to this Turkey Day draft, and then you'll be able to watch the whole thing play out on twitch.tv/infinitysportsnet. I will admit I've never been on Twitch before, or if I have, I don't know it. But this is our first broadcast. It'll then be packaged and thrown up on our YouTube channel named after the show a little bit later on today. But our gift to you on Thanksgiving. And before I launch into more of Blake Snell, of course, I tease things and I don't get back to them sometimes. It's one of my big, I wouldn't call it fatal. It's one of my flaws as a host is I tease things, I forget, or I get busy doing something else and I don't pay off on the teases. So forgive me for that, but I'm going to do it now. Pete asked me, as part of Ask Amy Anything, what family adventure movies do we enjoy the most in our family? So I'll tell you the one that I've been watching since I was a kid and just saw it on TV this past weekend. It always comes out around the holidays on network TV, The Wizard of Oz. It was the first movie that Mom ever let Matthew, my brother, and I watch. It is still in my mind legendary. It cannot be improved on. I still have questions about whether or not she was dreaming the whole time. So I love that movie. I've seen Wicked on Broadway 3 times as well, which is a terrific kind of expansion of that universe. So Wizard of Oz is one of my favorites. Home Alone, it's also a kind of a bridge to get to Christmas. We love Home Alone. We love the dumb Chevy Chase holiday movies. So those are other ones. But then outside of that realm, Lion King, I think you would call that an adventure. It's a lion adventure. And I adore the Finding Nemo movies, Finding Nemo and Finding Dory. And I've watched those with my nieces a bazillion times. And then one more I'd say, love Robin Hood. Robin Hood is a terrific movie. Love the theme as well. So there, I answered the question. I feel better now. Okay. It paid off in the tease. Although maybe people were mad and they're not still listening to us now. All right. I'm sorry. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The Blake Snell bombshell drops before Juan Soto, even though he has offers from 5 teams, the Red Sox, the Mets, the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers. So 3 teams in the AL East. And then you've also got the NL East and the NL West involved. And that's not a surprise. Those are the major players that can't afford or choose to afford to pay the type of money that Juan Soto will command. He's also a Scott Boras client. So we were talking about this earlier. Now that Boras has taken care of Blake Snell and redeemed himself, if you will, with Blake Snell, he can move on to Juan Soto. And I would not be surprised if that's the next big domino to drop. Could the Dodgers end up landing both of these guys? Wowzers. So Blake is a free agent lefty, right? Who, after joining the Giants, stunk to start last season. But as the season progressed, so he started with a 9.51 ERA in his first half dozen appearances. He went to the injured list. He had a groin strain. It was completely off the rails. And the Giants are probably thinking, thank goodness that he can opt out after 1 year. But when he returned from that IR stint, that second one, he was terrific. Really about stretching himself out, getting that time, being healthy. I can imagine that part of the timing with this, Pete, is that he doesn't want to go into the season without a full spring training like last year and have to spend the first half of the season catching up.
I think he was very targeted in what he wanted to do. And I think a lot of those guys, I think a lot of free agents are going to be like that. You're going to see a lot. I believe you'll see a lot of free agents signed at the winter meetings. Just because you don't want to see, you saw what happened to a lot of players. Boras clients last year. They were not prepared. They were not fully, I mean, Matt Chapman was signed late, but he ended up having a great season. He was an exception to the case. But a lot of these guys, that's why Soto, I think, is is very smart in how he's approaching what he's doing. He's made it very clear he wants the biggest contract. He wants that team that wants to invest all the money into him. It's about business, and he's looking at it like that. And I think a lot of players are going to start saying, "Look, we got to take the realistic approach of what's happening, and not have anything like this happen to us again."
And so these Scott Boras clients, you may hear them front and center, hear more of them front and center earlier in the hot stove season, even before it's been traditionally hot at all. And what we find out about Blake Snell is that in some ways, this does reset the market for free agent pitchers. Here's Jim Bowden.
The Boras Corporation was able to negotiate a deal with an average annual value of $36.4 million. Why is that significant? Well, Gerrit Cole had the record previously at $36 million, so it shatters that. The contract has no opt-outs. It's got a $52 million signing bonus, and there are deferrals, so we don't know the net present value of the deal yet. But this, as you mentioned, the first big free agent deal of this offseason so far.
Jim Bowden, longtime GM and front office exec in Major League Baseball, now with CBS Sports HQ. If you missed my conversation with Michael Duarte, he joined us after he went to Gladiator, covered the Phoenix Suns, LA Lakers, decided to get a movie. Why not? It's Thanksgiving week. And so he joined us after that and actually made a comparison with Gladiator. What he was saying is that the Dodgers have coveted Blake Snell, and he gives us kind of the history of that relationship and why they were determined to make a comparable pitch. Here's the part that blows me away, and I got Michael's reaction to this as well. You can grab our conversation on the podcast as soon as the show is done. The Dodgers have now given out five contracts worth at least $100 million since the start of last offseason. So going back to the 2023 free agent period, five of them. And that includes Shohei Ohtani for $700 million. We're just saying the baseline is $100 million. Every other team in baseball combined, five deals worth at least $100 million. So there are 10 since the beginning of the 23 offseason. Five of them have been signed by the Dodgers. They are willing to spend money because they make money. They are willing to spend money because when you win a World Series and compete for titles, you make that money back in spades. And that is indisputable. The money that the Dodgers are making because of what they've spent, Shohei Ohtani, Yamamoto, now Blake Snell, they are becoming a global sensation, and they're making that money back because of their association, because of the uniforms that are on the backs of these global phenomena in Yamamoto for sure, and also Shohei Ohtani. But we know they've got superstars. They're collecting superstars. Like, I collect little pumpkins around the Thanksgiving time and around fall to put them up all over my house. That's what the Dodgers are doing. But they spend the money knowing they're going to make it back because they are, first of all, a team that's full of high-profile names and former MVPs, but also they're part of this, I would say, this kind of machine that they put together that includes getting on national TV, selling jerseys, being part of the conversation always. The Dodgers are top of mind in baseball no matter what, because they keep themselves top of mind by moves like this one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jim Bowden goes on to talk about the Dodgers and their rotation. Now remember, they started nearly two dozen pitchers in 24. Their rotation was the weak point of that roster, and yet they managed to piece it together. What did you say earlier? I said duct tape and string. You said, how do they keep it together?
Medical tape, or silly string of super glue. That's another way.
There
to do
you
it.
Go. Those are toys that kids play with, right? What's it called? Silly string and super glue. And that's how the Dodgers held together their pitching rotation. So they still have more work to do. But why were they okay going all in on Blake Snell?
They're really happy about him because even though only twice in his career has he pitched more than 130 innings, only twice in 9 years, they don't mind, because when they get their pitchers, they save them for October. They don't mind how many innings you go in the regular season. They're going to take care of their arms. And so to know that they have Snell and Ohtani and Glasnow coming back next year, they feel like they're going to have one of the best starting rotations in baseball.
So Jim Bowden on CBS Sports HQ. I don't know about that. I wouldn't go that far yet. What we heard from Michael Duarte about when Shohei Ohtani could be ready to pitch kind of gives me pause, so we'll wait. But again, check that out on our podcast, and we're going to hear more about this Blake Snell deal because he still has to pass the physical, and no doubt they'll introduce him at some point, and then Juan Soto. Could you imagine, Pete? I mean, we have to imagine Juan Soto being added to that roster, to that lineup. That's ridiculous. And yet the Dodgers are well within the rules. They're not doing anything that's nefarious. They're not circumventing the rules. They're not cheating. They're not finding loopholes. They are spending money because that is how they plan to make money and collect World Series, or at least remain relevant.
Yeah, they're not out of it until he signs somewhere else. That's how they're going to be with everybody. I don't think he will end up there, but you can't rule it out.
I don't think so either, but...
Yeah, if he's in that lineup, that's another trip to the World Series at least.
However, as much as we say, like, he may not choose that, la, 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 he told us after the World Series, he's not giving the Yankees any type of a leg up or a hometown discount. He's not from there, right? This was his third franchise. He won a title with the Nationals. Then he went to the Padres and changed their lineup. They just couldn't afford to keep him or didn't want to pay him. And now the Yankees. But also, we know he benefited from the protection of the lineup around him. So primarily Aaron Judge, but also Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, the fact that those other two sluggers were around him in the lineup in different ways, of course, that gave him the ability to be patient, number one. Number two, he got good pitches because you just can't pitch around guys when you're constantly facing big bats like that. So that was important to him. That's why I think the Dodgers could be in the running, because think about the three MVPs they have at the top of their lineup: Shohei, Mookie, who is changing positions this year again, and Freddie Freeman. Then you would potentially add a Juan Soto. I mean, that's obscene. That's really is obscene.
Three times the protection in that lineup.
That's crazy. Imagine like opposing pitchers. What do you do with that?
Now, I will say this. I think ultimately what they'll do is what Michael said. They'll maybe sign another pitcher, but they do have an abundance of starting pitchers on the back end that are trying to work their way back. I can see them taking a Bobby Miller and turning him around to, say, Chicago. Go get Luis Robert. They want to dump Luis Robert, and that could be a good fit for the Chicago White Sox. So I could see them doing something creative that way to add another bat to the lineup, and then they add the pitching in free agency, maybe re-sign Teoscar Hernandez.
It is obscene, but the Dodgers are doing what works best for them. I mean, it's a little bit like UConn women's basketball. Until the rest of women's college basketball caught up, they were going to be dominant, and the Dodgers don't care. I mean, they're doing the same options that every other team does. So you can do the same thing they are, just that a lot of owners don't choose to do that.
Is the system going to change, though? That's the question.
Well, we'll see. Baseball did, though, increase the luxury tax thresholds. They're paying through the nose for luxury tax. They're putting money in the pockets of every other baseball team. And that's okay with them because it's still worth it. And the formula right now it's perfect for the Dodgers. And let's be honest, free agents want to go there. Right. They want to go there. For a lot of reasons, not just geography, but because you're going to be a team that will compete. At A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, and coming up in just a half hour from now, actually 25 minutes from now, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet, our first ever, our inaugural Turkey Day draft featuring the best food. Straight ahead, little bit of gobble, gobble. I mean, I could say it like a turkey, but the thing is I could do it, could try it. If it falls flat, then I've lost all credibility with you as a turkey warbler. So coming up next, a Turkey Day slate and some NFL college games that are on the horizon that you must pay attention to. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A lot of the guys cherish this opportunity that we're about to get to be able to go over there to the Lambeau, be able to play over there at a historic field, and it's just a blessing. It really is.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of one Tua Tagovailoa, who is part of the Thanksgiving Day tripleheader in the NFL, kicking off week 13. Are you kidding me? We've got their traditional matchups. These remain in Detroit, in Dallas, but not that long ago, the NFL added the third game, the night game, the primetime game, and this year it's on NBC and Peacock, and it is the Dolphins at Lambeau Field. So you have the two traditionals with the games that feature divisional matchups, but then you've got the one that's atypical and a little bit odd, but it does feature a pair of teams that, of course, have playoff aspirations. And yeah, Tua says this has always been a part of his Thanksgiving.
A lot of times you'd see the Cowboys play, you'd see the Packers play, the Lions play, and to be able to have that opportunity to play in a primetime game at night at a historic field, you know, I don't think any of the guys take that for granted.
I'm excited to see this game in particular because Miami right now is on a win streak and does, in fact, harbor designs of making the playoffs. And we talked about this, that game that was in L.A., right? They were playing the Chargers a couple weeks ago, Pete, and we had Omar Kelly with us from the Miami Herald, right? And he's a columnist, and he was in L.A. to cover that game. And what he told us is that they were spewing hope inside the visitors' locker room. They were talking about their offense being back in place, their leader being back on the field, and you can really see the evidence of Tua now having become more comfortable and in a rhythm with his receivers specifically. But Devon Achane has been great as well. He's getting healthy. Two touchdown catches for him this weekend against the Patriots. And Jalen Waddle had a massive game. So they were 3-for-4 in the red zone. Tua was over 300 yards. He had four touchdowns, a third straight win. Packers, though, are playing some terrific defense right now. They throttled the Niners. I know the Niners are missing a lot of pieces, including Brock Purdy, but they throttled the Niners. They did not allow them to really get off the mat at all. While the Packers' offense looked like a juggernaut, was running the ball down the throats of the Niners. For the Niners' offense, they really didn't have a lot of time with the ball. It was a very slow start for them. And before you knew it, Green Bay was racing out to a win. 21 points off Niners turnover. So that defense will get the takeaways and will hand the ball back to Jordan Love and its offense. Even on this short work week, they get to host at Lambeau Field under the lights.
We made some tweaks to our Thursday schedule a year ago, and we did the same thing this year in terms of copied that schedule from last year. And I think it afforded us an opportunity to kind of get the plan in a little bit quicker for the players, puts a little bit more stress on us as coaches in terms of our preparation, our process. But I thought it was beneficial to our players.
Excited about that game. Anytime you get Lambeau Field in primetime, it's delicious. So that's the third of the doubleheader. By the way, there is a Black Friday game, the Super Bowl champions against the Raiders. It's a rivalry that last year gave the Raiders a win on Christmas Day and then sparked the Chiefs in such a way that they needed no more motivation. Rattled off six consecutive wins. That was their last loss of the year, and they did win the Super Bowl in Vegas, which had to be the ultimate comeback, the ultimate revenge. That game is Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time, but 2 o'clock at Arrowhead. And so it's not under the lights. Maybe it won't be quite as cold, but that one is on Amazon Prime. So something new now for Black Friday with the Prime broadcast. Let's go back to Thursday, though. Oh, as a side note, our friend Kevin Kugler, who is calling that game for Westwood One, he joined us in the second hour of the show for Fox and Westwood One, but he'll be heading to Kansas City for that game. So he'll be able to take it with you as you're shopping and listen to it on the radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, coming up live broadcast on twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. We're getting ready. Lights are about to come on. But the traditional matchup that we get in Detroit to kick off the Thanksgiving Day slate, it's two teams, top and bottom. Do you know what I just said? It's two teams. Like, duh, duh. Sometimes you hear what comes out of my mouth and you think you are an idiot. Okay, I think you are an idiot, Amy. It was a pause. It wasn't, it's two teams. That wasn't the whole sentence, but it's two teams. And then there was this weird pause that made it sound like that's what I had to say. It's two teams.
I'd be into three team games.
No, you wouldn't.
They look exciting.
That's something the NFL could try to do now. Charge extra. You get three teams for the price of two. So Chicago and Detroit, teams at the top and bottom of the NFC North. And yet, Chicago has got a quarterback that you can already see is going to be a star in this league if he stays healthy. We had talked about the Bears earlier in the week with our friend David Haw from our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score. And of course, the buzz in Chicago is about the future of Matt Eberflus and his coaching staff, primarily the defensive side, where there could be a huge overhaul. But Chicago has Caleb Williams. They're happy with Caleb Williams. He's making progress. This is his first time on Thanksgiving.
This is interesting for me. This being my first Thursday game. And it being such a large game, divisional game versus, one of the best, if not the best team, so far this season. And, like you said, routine wise is different, having to, get up and things like that on your Tuesday, which you normally, are taking care of your body all day, strictly mainly mental work. And things like that on Tuesday for myself. And, I would say I had a few mess ups today with some of the, the new plays and things like that, just because you don't have those kind of day and a half to go through all the small details that mean a lot that I always talk about. So, definitely something that after this week and after this game that I know we have another one this year. And I know that, we'll have a bunch more in the years to come. So definitely want to make sure that, when this happens next time that I'm, prepared for it. I know how to and I know kind of what to expect.
Okay, let's be fair. That might have been the longest answer in the history of football to what about a Thursday turnaround? You heard Matt LaFleur's and then you heard Caleb Williams. But that was amazing. I wouldn't have thought about that. I know normally Tuesday is a rehab day for a lot of these guys. You're getting treatment. You're starting to think about scout, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you're watching film. You're not working, right? Meaning you're not on the field. And he said, I was actually messing up a bit because I'm just not ready. This is atypical. It's not my regular routine. But seriously, we heard Matt LaFleur give us like 3 seconds. And then we hear Caleb Williams give us 93 seconds on what it's like to play on a Thursday. I love that about him. He's so willing to answer questions. Dan Campbell, by the way, he's got his Lions operating in a position of strength. They are flexing their muscles. And yeah, this is different. The Lions used to be the patsy on Thanksgiving. Instead, now they're about winning and roaring on Thanksgiving.
I think there's two things. Number one, get a W, right? And it's a division win. That's why this is huge. Number two is because, the players are going to get a couple of days off. So they got family, friends in. It'd be nice to, to feel good about it when you're with everybody. Because it's just not real fun. It's not real fun to be around. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Like, that's what she's praying for, a win. I mean, big time, because she knows that, I'm a bear when we don't win. So we all want it, and it is long overdue, but we got to win the win.
As my wife, she's praying for a win because I'm a bear, which is kind of funny considering the Lions are playing the Bears. I'm a bear when we win. Love Dan Campbell. He's got a huge fan club around the NFL. One more from inside the Thanksgiving Day slate, Mike McCarthy. Responding to Jerry Jones saying, it's not all that crazy to think that I would keep Mike McCarthy as my head coach beyond this season. He said that to Sean and RJ on our Dallas affiliate.
Mike McCarthy.
105.3 The Fan. Yes, he knows who his coach is. Mike, of course, had to respond at his press conference.
I really haven't talked about it all year, so I mean, definitely not going to start on a short week in an important division game. But I'm not going to throw away positive vibes either, so I'll keep them coming, but that's all good. But that's not something I'm really focused on.
It's like Yahtzee.
Okay, I've been on the record as saying I'm going to plan my Thanksgiving dinner during the Giants and the Cowboys, especially when we find out Tommy DeVito, he's feeling banged up, he may not play. Drew Locke, he's going to have to be ready to go. This is not anything that anyone needs to see, except for potentially Cooper Rush's family. That's awesome. I'm going to be eating. So you all let me know whether or not the Giants beat the Cowboys. If they do, Mike McCarthy does not keep his job.
Mike McCarthy.
In Dallas, if they lose to the Giants, he might not make it through the end of the season. But if they put together back-to-back wins, people will start to feel the hope and people start to wonder about the future. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence coming up next. Following the update, we have got our Turkey Day draft. Inaugural, first time ever, never been done before. On twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. If you can't watch it live, it'll be on our YouTube channel later. But Pete, I have the coin. It's a quarter. It's a traditional quarter, no like special state quarter. It's got the eagle on the back. I'm going to flip. You get to call, and this determines who gets the first pick in our Turkey Day draft. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's okay, go. I don't actually know how to flip, so I'm just going to throw it up in the air.
Heads.
Well, I'll take a picture, unless you trust me.
I trust
you. It hit my water bottle, and then it flipped over to tails.
Okay. You got the first pick.
Are you sure?
Yes. No, that's fine. That's it. I'm trustworthy. I trust you.
Wait, I'm trustworthy, or you're trustworthy.
Yes, both.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. Next, here's our latest sports I'm nervous. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pat Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Just when you think they can't get any better, think again. The Dodgers are signing two-time Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell to a 5-year contract reportedly worth $182 million. Much different offseason for Snell than last year when he didn't sign until late in spring training after winning the Cy Young Award with the Padres and only inking a 2-year contract with the Giants because he didn't like any of the other offers he got. Well, after a rocky start to the season and two stints on the IL, Snell was the best pitcher in baseball from July on and now joins the reigning champions. His signing bonus is $52 million. NBA Cup, KD returned after a 7-game absence because of a calf strain and lit up the Lakers.
Suns with numbers. Jones, left wing, Durant, open for three. He got another one. Kevin Durant, 3 for 5 from downtown tonight. 17, and the Suns have their biggest lead up to 14.
Suns radio the call. KD at 23. Phoenix also got Bradley Beal back from injury. They crushed LeBron and LA, 127-100. Elsewhere, Giannis out with a knee injury, so Damian Lillard pointed to his wrist and proceeded to drop 37 points and hand out 12 assists. Milwaukee 6 wins in a row now to get back to 500. They beat the Heat 106-103. And Wemby had 34 points and 3 blocks. Spurs beat the Jazz 128-115. College football playoff rankings, it's the same top 4 as last week. Oregon at number 1, Ohio State 2, Texas is at 3, and Penn State is number 4. Notre Dame moves up to 5, while Indiana's first loss of the season, falling to the Buckeyes, pushes them back to 10. College hoops, a heave at the buzzer in Vegas. Any dice?
They sprint up the floor football style. James to play it in. Looking, looking, looking. Can't find anybody. Gets it into the big fella. Knipple for the tie. It misses! And KU wins! The Jayhawks survive the loss of Dickinson and grind it out in the end.
Kansas radio, the final call. The top-ranked Jayhawks indeed survive number 11 Duke 75-72 to stay unbeaten. And fourth-ranked Auburn finishes off number 12 UNC 85-72 in Maui. I'm Pat Boyle.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm going to do my absolute best not to talk with my hands. This is our first time ever on Twitch. Pete tells me this is what the cool kids do. I don't know how Pete would know what the cool kids do. I'm kidding. I tried to be festive with some orange to go along with Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We're on twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. And this is what the cool kids do. So here we are. Something brand new that comes from the mind of producer Pete. A Turkey Day draft. Think NFL draft. We did flip to decide who would have the number one overall pick. That is mine. I swear that I did not cheat, even though the coin landed next to my feet.
I trust her.
Okay, he trusts me. Now, here's my question. Is this a snake draft, or is this 1-2, 1-2, 1-2?
I think
it should, it 1-2-2-1, 1-2-2-1?
I don't think it should be a snake draft because it's two people.
Okay.
I think it might get a little confusing.
Well, that benefits me. No, it does. Could keep track if you wanted to.
No, it does. It benefits you, but you got the first pick. You should have that
fair and square. Such fair and square.
They don't do it in the NFL.
Do you think this is how NFL captains feel when they're standing out at midfield and the coin is about to get flipped for overtime and there's this sense of foreboding and dread as the coin's in the air and they think there's no way. If we lose this, especially when it's Patrick Mahomes standing across the I guess it's a circle, standing across the circle from them, and they're like, dang it. Oh, do you remember? This was you. Okay, this is you. When the Bucks and the Chiefs played a couple weeks ago, and that's what happened, Baker Mayfield saw the coin flip go for Patrick Mahomes and went, ah!
I think there's a little more nerves in the NFL compared to us picking cranberry sauce.
Well, I don't know, because I don't like being on camera, but hello! I talk with my hands. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, twitch.tv, Infinity Sports Net. I have the number one pick. Any other rules that I need to know for this Turkey Day draft?
So it's six rounds. We have 13 items on the board. You go to our Twitter page, our Twix page.
So someone gets left out.
Something can get left out. That's right. The wild card is, as I said before, you can take any item from the other person. You cannot use it in the first round. And you'll get your own pick as well. So... many things with the wild card.
Many things. Many twists and turns for this reality show Turkey Day draft. Are you ready? All right. Number one. Ooh, I like it. Is this a clock? Kind of feels like a clock. Oh, not a clock. But I'm going to not bebop either. I'm going with, as the number one overall pick in the 2024 After Hours Turkey Day draft, a potato dish of my choosing.
Oh, wow.
Because... it is not Thanksgiving without a massive mound of mashed potatoes. Now, I like them smashed with some of the skins on. Mashed, smashed potatoes with salt and pepper and a boat of butter. They've got to have gravy, too, but since I don't yet have gravy and you may pick gravy, I'll just have to go with salt, pepper, and butter. I cannot do Thanksgiving without mashed potatoes. Number one overall pick in the Turkey Day draft. Yeah!
All right. We're off and running. I will... go strategy, and I will pick gravy as my number one pick.
Okay, jerk. Is this what people do in their war rooms? When someone grabs the guy that they want, they call him names?
This is the Eagles a couple years ago when they took the Giants pick, basically.
Okay, so I have to write down Pete and know, I have to black gravy off of my Turkey Day.
That's right.
Big board.
That's right.
Okay, well, too bad for you, Pete, because I'm grabbing the wild card, which means that if I want to steal your number one, oh no, I can't, your number one overall pick. Right. Oh, that's wrong. I'm throwing, that's just wrong. You took gravy? I don't have gravy for my potatoes? Okay, I'm still selecting the wild card though as my number two overall pick.
You're gonna hold it until
I'm gonna hold the wild card until I see what you have that you have hoarded over there with your Turkey Day draft.
That's very smart. That's a very smart way to go. I will pick turkey for my pick.
Do you see my face?
Yes.
Other people can see my face on Twitch TV. How does one have a Thanksgiving dinner without turkey? You're going to have a Thanksgiving Day dinner without turkey.
Know that.
Did you do it on purpose? Was it strategy because you know I'm going to steal it from you?
Well, first of all, I didn't think smashed potatoes was going to go number one overall. So,
well, this is what you learn about me. When we're talking food, man, I am not prototypical. Okay, so we've got turkey off the table as well as gravy with Pete. So far, he's got the good stuff. My number three overall pick. Shoot, I don't have a meat. My number three overall pick. I'm sorry, Pete. I got to go pie. How can you have Thanksgiving Day without having pumpkin pie? It's a tradition that I adhere to. You can have it with ice cream. You can have it with Cool Whip. You can have it with Ready Whip. You can have it with crusted walnuts. I will not light them on fire this year. Pumpkin pie is now off the board, Producer Pete.
All right. I'm going to brace for the inevitable.
And
I'm going to take brisket. I am taking brisket. I'm having a backup meat. Because I feel like my one of those meats is going to go to you with this wild card.
Wait, are you hoarding the meats now? Are you becoming the meat locker over there?
I like stacking the meats.
Wow. It's It's like a Brazilian steakhouse where you just have men walking around with skewers of meat.
Everyone's sweating, yeah.
I could do that, actually. We went to, I think it was Texas Day Brazil for a Thanksgiving about 10 years ago, and it was amazing. So that's not a bad strategy. Wow, Pete's in there. I can see the smoke coming out of his ears because he's navigating this Turkey Day
down,
draft.
Charts, everything.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us on Twitch TV. I know it's new for us too, /InfinitySportsNet. We are now through three rounds of our Turkey Day draft here on After Hours. It is my turn and I am going, shoot, I think I need another meat. I'm going to go with stuffing though. I gotta. It's my second favorite side. Whether you stuff it in the turkey, whether you make it as dressing, we're a big fan of the Pepperidge Farm herb seasoned. It's as long as I can remember, back to when I was a kid, it's been a staple on our Thanksgiving Day table. So I'm going stuffing, even though I have no gravy to go with my stuffing. Urgh.
Strategy. I am taking macaroni and cheese.
You can have it.
Going to go right with all my meats.
This is when I pretend. I put out all kinds of false reports that I'm really interested in a quarterback when I'm not, so that it it lets other teams believe that I'm going to go a different direction, and then I sneak in behind them and grab the QB that I actually want. I like mac and cheese, I guess. I've made it homemade before. The thing is, there's so many starches on the table that if I have to choose a starch and stuff myself, I'm probably going to leave off the mac and cheese. So you can have that one. Don't worry, I'm not going to steal your mac and cheese.
Okay, all right.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm falling behind in writing. Was that three rounds or two rounds? No, you took the brisket.
We are through the fourth round. We're into the fifth round.
Okay, this is what Pete's Thanksgiving table looks like to this point. Turkey, brisket, gravy, mac and cheese. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
I won't ask you how you're making your brisket, but I do love brisket. I've just never had it on Thanksgiving.
I would smoke it over 7 days for Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice. Well, you better get started, man. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. We're midway through our Turkey Day draft. I've got potato, the wild card, pumpkin pie stuffing. I'm going with a veggie of my choosing because I believe that this would allow me to have sweet potatoes, right? Aren't sweet potatoes veggies? Wait, sweet potatoes, veggies?
No, I'm not. We're not counting sweet potatoes in that. We're counting actual vegetables.
Okay, corn casserole. Corn casserole? All right, I'm going corn. I got to have a veggie or a pretend veggie. Corn casserole. Pete, you're next.
All right, I'm going to take cranberry sauce. We need a little bit of a change, so I'm going cranberry
sauce. Okay, so you need to add cranberry sauce to your Thanksgiving Day spread. So Pete is now at turkey, brisket, gravy, mac and cheese, and cranberry sauce.
That's right.
Your son's going to be really happy with this Thanksgiving Day spread. Okay, I did veggie dish. I did pie. I did potato.
Now you have one more pick and the wild card.
I have one more pick and the wild card. Okay, I kind of feel like chicken is a good addition, especially since right now I don't have a turkey. No, I'm going to steal your turkey. I take it back. I didn't actually put the pick in. Instead, I'm going lasagna. That sounds delicious. I've never had lasagna on Thanksgiving Day, but lasagna feels like it would fit perfectly on our Thanksgiving table that right now doesn't have meat. So you you get one more pick and then I can steal?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm going to keep with our meats and I'm going to go with ham.
Oh my gosh.
So now
you're going to be in a meat coma.
Well, I'm bracing for one of my meats to be taken. So I'm going to hoard the meats. As we've said, I am taking ham. So ham will be my final pick.
Apparently there are no vegans at your Thanksgiving Day spread.
Nope,
no vegetarians, no vegans,
no nothing.
No room for that.
No room for that.
Because Pete's covering his table with meat.
All meat all the time.
Meat. Okay. Shoot, I have to take. So I took lasagna. I'm taking ham off the table.
Okay, so now we're at the end of the draft. Now
yes.
You get to use this
wild card.
Take something from me. Not gravy.
Not gravy. Well, that kind of stinks because I don't have any gravy for my turkey. Huh. Instead, I'm going to steal your brisket. I'm going all new, but I don't need gravy for brisket.
Wow.
So I'm going brisket and stealing your brisket off your table, man. You have your turkey. You have your gravy. Not so fast with the brisket. How about that?
That's
I got a little sneaky.
That is a stunning draft as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, I never thought of a brisket, but you gave me this power of suggestion, and I can't allow you to have the meat market. So I'm taking your brisket. Okay, so what's on your table, Producer Pete?
All right, so we got turkey with gravy. We got macaroni and cheese, cranberry sauce, and ham.
Don't you get to replace what I stole from you?
I can, but I'll be adding another meat. I'll add another meat. Yes, chicken. Chicken will come aboard onto my table as well.
Okay, I've never had a Thanksgiving without turkey, so this is odd, but I like it. Here is my Thanksgiving Day spread, courtesy of our Turkey Day draft. I'm going brisket. I'm going lasagna. I'm going to have the mashed potatoes, premier mashed potatoes, number one overall pick. I'm getting stuffing and a corn casserole with some cornbread, of course, and pumpkin pie. You're left without dessert, Pete. I don't even know how you can have a Thanksgiving without Ready Whip on some kind of dessert.
No one will be able to walk after my meal.
Because yours is all meat all the time. That was fun. And hello to those of you who are watching on Twitch TV. I know someone is because we just got a screen grab of us on Twitch. We hope that you have an amazing Thanksgiving, whether it's family, whether it's friends who are like family. Please enjoy the time together. We have so much to be thankful for as human beings. There's always something that we can say thank you for and people that we can thank, of course. I thank producer Pete for jumping on board and being part of this wild adventure that we call After Hours and convincing me to be on Twitch for the first time. If you missed it, this entire broadcast that you can't find anywhere else will be thrown up on our YouTube channel so that you can go back and watch it forever and ever on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. We're back with you on Sunday night. Enjoy your weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!